can't solve a problem at the same level it was created.
I worked very hard for 10 years to become an overnight sensation.
Your growth has to be number one. That is the first rule.
You need to be able to imagine something being better.
And I think the fear is missing a life and not experiencing your full capacity.
The only way to learn to see is to make assertions, see what happens, learn from it, and then do it again.
You're listening to the Humans 2.0 podcast. This is your host, Mark Metry.
You're listening to episode 296 with Joe DeSena. Joe is famously known for starting Spartan Race. Voted Outside Magazine's best obstacle race in 2012 and is the world's leading obstacle racing series of its kind. Joe is also a New York Times best-selling author and overall warrior that comes in and just tells you how it is. While you're listening to this, if anything sticks out to you as thought-provoking or interesting, feel free to take a screenshot, write down what you heard, and feel free to post it on social media, text it to a friend, a family member, get this information out there. And without further ado, episode 296 with Joe DeSena.
And so, you know, honestly, I have a standard first question that I always ask people.
Yeah.
But honestly, I'm going to save that. I'm just curious, what have you recently kind of been thinking about? A lot of people have been talking a lot about coronavirus, the different views on that, maybe fear, and then actually what's going on in the world. I'm curious, like, have you ever thought about that? Any thoughts on what's going on recently?
What is this virus? What is it called?
Coronavirus, COVID-19. Coronavirus.
I thought it was a beer. So, yeah, I'm pretty relaxed about the whole thing. I'm certainly not a doctor or a scientist. I'm probably the least educated person in this room. And sunlight is good. Mm. Exercise is good. Healthy food is good. Mm. Saunas and sweating are great. Mm. Washing your hands and just maintaining overall cleanliness is good. And so, I think hunkering down in a living room where you're already not exercising, where you're already using your devices too much, right? Mm-hmm. Where you're already not maintaining good physical and mental health practices in your living room is probably not a great idea.
Right.
So, just my two cents. Yeah. But who the hell am I?
Absolutely, man. So, Joe, you know, you're an absolute legend. You're the founder, CEO of Spartan Races.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have so many friends that do Spartan. Like,
oh, nice.
Your brand is known all over. And, you know, all my guests, people who I bring on this podcast, first question I always ask them is, how do you spend your time here on planet Earth?
Yeah, I spend my time really thinking about my kids and my family 24/7. How to make sure I don't screw them up is really the tape I play in my head over and over and over and over. I want to live forever because I'm having so much fun here. So I think about that a lot. I definitely make mistakes like everybody else. I'm not even a big coffee drinker, but here I am. I don't like the taste of coffee, so that's a mistake. But so I make my mistakes. I try to make sure the mistakes are not fatal. And I recover. I bounce back from them quickly. In other words, if I have a bad meal or I miss a workout, which is rare, I bounce back right away.
Right.
Past is irrelevant.
Right.
Move forward. And then I get the pleasure. I get the honor. And this is not bullshit or flout. Like, I get the honor of running this company, this brand that changes people's lives.
Yeah.
Who the fuck gets to do that? Like, they might be doing a job or something in their life, running a business that they hate. Two, even if they like it, it's not necessarily changing lives. Three, they're not getting emails like I get on a daily basis that say, "You changed my life. I'm eating healthy. I lost weight. I'm back with my husband. I'm back with my wife. I gave up drinking." So, like, I get, yeah. So that part of my life's awesome. I just got to make sure I don't screw up my kids.
It's crazy, man. It must be so surreal to kind of like look now in your life and kind of like look back at all the work through like the decades that's taken progress.
41 years.
It's crazy.
Double your age.
almost. So, you know, you talk, you know, I've kind of heard a little bit about your kind of your upbringing and how, you know, you were always, you kind of describe yourself always kind of a freak. Your mom was a yoga teacher, yoga instructor, and you kind of like learned some of these principles. But I'm curious, like, was there any kind of early on in your life, was there like a moment where you had to make a really defining, maybe even scary decision to choose the life path you're on?
100 of them. You know, I like to say that, one, I want to bring this up. Throughout life, throughout our day, each day, we are posed 100 questions, 100 decisions on a daily basis that are seemingly insignificant. But, you know, we make this decision and that turns the dial a little bit to the right. We make that decision, turns the dial a little bit to the left. And if they don't seem like a big deal, but if you and I were on a spaceship right now and we did that, we'd end up on the wrong planet, right? By turning the dial a millimeter to the right. So I've had hundreds of defining decisions, rear views, 2020, looking back on the big ones. When my dad, you know, lost his money and his place in the economic system, he got crushed financially. It turned out to be a huge positive for me. I somehow was able to start my own business. Nice. So starting my own business was a big decision. Here's a big one that my mom made for me and my sister, moving us out of the neighborhood to Ithaca, New York. Massive life-changing decision. Going to Cornell University when I didn't have the right grades, I didn't have a good enough SAT score, and I wasn't accepted, and fighting through. Massive decision for That's me. Crazy. You know, and coming out of retirement, starting Spartan. Massive decision. Meeting my wife and asking her to marry me very quickly before she even knew what was happening. Big one. Mm.
You know, when you talk about starting Spartan, I know you were on Mind Valley's podcast with Vishen Lakhiani.
Yep.
A great guy. He's been on this podcast, and I was recently on theirs. And you talked about kind of the story of how you were working some business investment job, and you had like this really sort of turbulent times financially and otherwise kind of with starting Spartan in all the different ways. I'm curious, could you talk a little bit about that story and just what was it like from like choosing the name to kind of just getting it off the ground?
You know, I'm a big believer in fire, ready, aim. So you just say we're doing it. And once you say it, you got to own it. And then that sets a whole bunch of things in motion. And so it was just one of those things. I said, we're doing this. I don't give myself enough time to think like what the implications are,
right,
what the workload's going to be, whether or not it's going to work or not, what the investment cost. Like, I don't, cause you could talk yourself out of so many things. Yeah. And so I just did it. And then that led to a whole bunch of moments. And one of those moments was picking the name. Got purely lucky. There were 100 names on the sheet. I remember it like yesterday, and Spartan just jumped off the sheet. Starting it in Vermont, finding the team that we were able to find to put this whole thing together. And then, you know, not even realizing that the world, you see a precipitous drop in participation in religions, right? In certain religions. And so big void. Because at the end of the day, we're religion, we're 100%. Right, and a healthy one, and one that there's no downside to, right? Mm. We allow tattoos and the right,
right. Do what you want,
yeah, and. Yeah, I mean, we could talk for hours about that, those moments of coming up with the name. And you know, I'm only going to put 50 grand in, and that leads to multiple millions of dollars. Gets me completely upside down financially. Reverses all the hard work I've done my whole life. I mean, we can go on forever on all that stuff, but at the end of the day, I'm here.
100%.
I made it.
Like you said, ready, set, fire. And I think...
ready? No, fire, ready, aim.
Fire, ready, aim.
Yeah.
Wait.
Did I say that right?
Wait, yeah. Isn't
fire, ready, aim.
Okay.
Ready, aim, fire is what the world says. They get ready.
Right.
They aim and they fire.
Right.
What Joe DeSena in Spartan says is fire first, then get ready, and then aim.
Priorities.
Priorities.
It's how you get things done in life.
I learned that at a young age. I had a partner who we'd be in the middle of an important meeting. We're going to make millions of dollars. And somebody would, they said, no, it doesn't matter when, I always take that call. And I like that. And I learned that. And so, yeah.
That's awesome.
But what he doesn't know is when I then give him a signal that, hey, there's a bunch of cameras and microphones and people working here, he doesn't then get off the phone.
Yeah, no, definitely not. It's all good, for sure. So how many people have run Spartan races? How many millions?
7 million.
7 million.
Is that enough for you?
I mean, no, isn't there the goal 100 million?
It's a facetious question because there's 7 billion people on Earth. So although it sounds like a giant number, 7 million people, we haven't done it. We haven't even made a dent,
right?
But if we can get 100 million people to taste Spartan and sprinkle a little Spartan in their lives, those 100 million people, can you imagine if they then inspired, I don't know, 12 people each? That's 1.2 billion people, right? Because my mom did it. I saw her sprinkle her little magic with yoga and meditation and stuff. And then those people started to inspire other people. So if we could... 100 million people is a good number. Plus, between me and you only.
Ooh.
If we do 100 million people, I get a free pass to heaven. No matter what I did in my life, I'm in.
I think you probably have more. I'm curious. What do you think? Not necessarily just Spartan, but the lifestyle, everything that happens from just how you live to how you move to all those words that you mentioned. How do you think that then goes on to influence like someone's life in other areas, like their marriage? You mentioned before people.
The ancient Spartans believed you take care of the structure first. I'm going to stand. I don't even want to sit anymore.
Okay.
The ancient Spartans believed you take care of the structure first. Marion's going to come over and adjust this. And what they defined structure to be was.
I want to stand too.
You want to stand too, right? We don't want to sit. This is a Spartan podcast. This is not. This is not the Mr. Rogers podcast, right?
Yeah, we gotta stand.
We stand.
I think mine is good, actually. Yeah, it's like right there. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Structure is the most important thing in our lives. What is the structure? Structure is this: the frame, the body, and that's what they called it. Mm-hmm. And they believed that if we take care of this. If we eat really well, if we train really well, if we get our mind as hard as we can get it so we can deal with any adversity because life just throws adversity at you, well, then life's going to be easy. And the joke in ancient Sparta amongst the kings and queens and high-level folks all throughout the lands around the world would say, those motherfuckers, I don't know if you got to bleep that out or not, those motherfuckers, they like going to war. And the reason they like going to war is because their training is so hard. War is easy. And what to answer your question more succinctly, like, life is war.
Right.
It's a battle. It's hard shit happens every day. You find out the coronavirus, the markets collapse, stuff's falling apart, like, you name it, right? Hurricane Irene over here. And her house got washed away. I mean, we had some shit happen. Those just listening, we're talking about Marion, the producer of the show. Went through hell, Hurricane Irene. She broke a bit. I didn't break at all during that time. She's laughing because it's true. but shit happens, my point is. And it's going to happen even to the most talented individuals, even the most blessed individuals. We face hardship in life. And if you train like the Spartans, and the hardship we say is war, just using an analogy, well, if you train hard... and you eat clean, and you sleep well, and you do all those things. You treat yourself like an Olympian, right? Because, then the hard stuff's easier. I mean, it's not going to be easy, but it's easier.
Right. And I think that's like that's a big paradox in and of itself. Because I think most people's common mentality out there is, I'm not going to do the hard things. I just want to stay comfortable.
You know why that is?
Why?
Marion and I know why.
Why?
You know why we know? We get to interview, just like yourself, the smartest people on the planet. And we're sitting down with a Stanford professor. And this professor says, near IL, says, hey, Joe, the number one motivator for human beings, number one motivator is to avoid discomfort. And that's legacy hardware and legacy software that was designed to keep us from falling off cliffs, being attacked by lions, swimming out there with the sharks and getting, right? So we avoid discomfort at all costs. And we don't even know we're doing it. We wake up in the morning and it's uncomfortable to get out of bed. We hit the snooze button. We are about to go work out and subconsciously our mind says, oh, you got to do emails. You don't have to do emails. But your mind is doing that to avoid discomfort. It's the legacy hardware and software. So I don't know where I was going.
training hard.
That's why you don't do difficult things. You don't do difficult things because the legacy hardware and software is preventing us. And now, by the way, if this was 500 years ago, 1,000 years ago, and you and I were doing this podcast with like cups and strings or SOS signals or smoke signals,
yeah.
I would say, hey, we need more couches. We need more antibiotics. Right. We need more hot showers and solar roofs and Elon Musk. Right. But today, we don't need more of that stuff.
No.
We need less bubble wrapping.
Right. Yeah, 100%. I mean, I think it's like once you make a certain amount of money, it no longer has an influence on your happiness. I've seen you make a video about how exercise can do what you think money can do for you.
Oh, my God. Dopamine pathways that get opened up with exercise. I mean, you go do a hot yoga class or sit in a steam room if you're not feeling frisky. Yeah. Just sit in a steam room and come out and take an ice cold shower and you tell me you're not the happiest person on the planet.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's like this big paradox that you and Nir Eyal, who's an awesome guy who endorsed my book,
nice
cover on it, and yeah, he's a great guy. And when you look at that, it seems so counterintuitive. Because I remember my parents weren't really, you know, they always pushed me to work hard, do well in school, but not like, work hard like in the field in terms of the skeleton, the human body, and in other areas of my life. And I just feel like that message is not really there. This that much in sort of the mainstream society.
Well, I mean, what you don't know because you're too young is when my mom found all this stuff in the early 70s, there were no Whole Foods. There were no yoga journals. Right. There were no health food stores. There were not a lot of gyms. There were not gyms on every corner, not green juice shops. So you may feel as a young person like this is not like pervasive in our, but it's a lot more than it was. Like in the 50s and 40s, not that I'm that old, there was a guy named Jack Elaine, but he was like just him, right? It was just so we've got a long way to go, but it's coming in our direction. And shame on us if we think that smoking cigars or eating giant pecan pie desserts or drinking a bunch of beer or alcohol is somehow getting us closer to our goals. Shame on us. Like Olympians train fucking 12 years straight for one gold medal. We all are trying to get a gold medal every single day. Why aren't we treating ourselves like Olympians?
And you just look at their performance, you look at what they're eating, and it's just so accurate. And I'm, you know, like for me,
as I drink this terrible, it's coconut milk. It's not dairy. It's coconut milk. But I don't need it. I should just be drinking water right now. You know what? I'm going to get a water. No, but you know, it's all those little decisions, right? It's all those little decisions. No big deal that I'm having a coffee. Yeah, it's a big deal. And I want to be an Olympian. I want to get a gold medal today.
For sure. And I think, you know, everyone is at like a different spot on their journey, whether they're obese, they've never gone to the gym. Like I'm going to the gym for the first time in my life, like the last 2 years, being really physically active, doing a half triathlon in like 3 months. And
let me know when you're feeling really frisky.
100%, as far as on my list, for sure. But yeah, I mean, everyone's on a different spot in their journey. But I'm curious to like ask you, for example, like you've talked about exercise and movement, not just from like a purely gym sort of mentality. You've talked about it just the way that like human evolution has evolved and how we're supposed to be moving. And you know, you've said that, you know, a lot of us, we go to the gym like first 45 minutes or first hour of the day, and then we just sit down for the rest of the day. And you, I don't know if you still do this or not, but you, apparently you walk around with like a kettlebell.
I do. I don't, I have the ancient kettlebell.
Oh, dang. Yeah. There you go.
All right. For those listening, beautiful. I've just pulled out the ancient kettlebell gifted to me from Sparta, Greece. And Yeah, because the idea is when I walk from here to the boat or I'm traveling or I take a set of stairs, why not turn it into a workout? Why not turn my whole environment into a gym? Right? Today we were on the boat and we were coming over and I thought, why don't I do some really deep-seated squats? Now, but I was the only one. There was, you know, 400 people on the boat. Nobody else was doing it. Yeah. And I thought, well, like, I'm multitasking. I'm doing a conference call. I'm getting a good stretch, right? And so I try to just turn my whole day into a workout. If you really want to have some fun, if you're out there listening, if you really want to have some fun, next time you see a giant set of stairs at an airport or somewhere, I want you to just stand there and put your phone in time lapse and film how many people take the stairs and how many people take the escalator. No one takes the fucking stairs. No one.
I almost made that mistake today. I saw the escalator and I was like, I almost pushed the button. I was like, nope, I'm going to take the stairs.
Got to take the stairs.
Got to do it.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
Like, it's so, like, again, it's just like our society is just so easy
now. Remember, you know what happened to your brain at that moment? Avoid discomfort.
Right.
Right? You didn't even know it was happening.
No. It's the automatic path if you've been on it for so long. Yeah. Like I didn't have a mom that taught me yoga or meditation. Mm. I'm curious to ask you, like, when it comes to, although yoga is physical for sure, I'm curious to ask you, like, when it comes to not physical things, do you do meditation? How do you view that?
I meditate before I go to bed. That's just my thing. I meditate I try for 10 minutes. It takes me about 4 minutes and I'm sleeping. I close my eyes. I focus. I try to completely shut my mind down, and it's the most awesome way to fall asleep. Because I say to myself, why do I want to meditate during the day or in the morning when I'm trying to get fired up and get stuff done? Right. I'd rather meditate towards the end of the day and really clear my mind and then collapse. Like, that's just me.
Yeah. No, it's good logic for sure. No, I love it. And, you know, when it comes to yoga, you know, you've talked about the importance of it, and I'm curious to ask you, what do you think is a good kind of yoga, maybe a good place for people to start? Why is it important for someone?
Well, so mobility and flexibility is the most important thing, right? Because we as human beings can do anything. We were designed to track down an animal if we had to. If we couldn't get a plant-based diet that day and we had to chase a deer, we could chase it to exhaustion, right? So we have the ability as human beings to do amazing things. And I have friends that rowed across the ocean in rowboats. I have other friends that have run 3,100 miles around a one-mile loop in Queens. So, like, but the thing that keeps us from completing those unbelievably grueling tasks is if we get injured. So we need to avoid injury at all costs. How do we avoid injury? We stay flexible and mobile. And just check into your local yoga class. Yoga class. And again, yoga didn't exist. My mom was teaching in the living room because there were no yoga studios anywhere. And so if you do yoga, I would recommend hot yoga. Now I like Bikram. There's a negative story about him. Terrible what his personal story was and the things he did. But the yoga he created in the hot room is second to none. It's unbelievable. However, there's lots of hot yoga you would do. Just make sure it's hot in the room. Because if it's hot, your number one organ, your skin, is really getting worked, and you're just more flexible and mobile in a hot room.
100%. And yeah, it's so interesting. Like, as I'm going to the gym, as I'm talking to like a personal trainer and other strong people, that's what they've always said. They said, like, make sure you're doing some kind of like in-depth stretching, foam rolling, yoga, because as your body gets stronger, you're more susceptible to injuries as you get stronger and as you lift, especially if you don't have that
mobility. Well, as we get older, we naturally lose range of motion. And if we sit all day, we lose range of motion. And if we take elevators instead of stairs, we lose range of motion. So everything we're doing in this new bubble wrap society is causing a loss in range of motion. And so you have to do something to counteract that.
Yeah, 100%. And you know, when it comes to living long, you know, you've spoken how you want to live to, you said forever, 200. me too. And I think we'll totally get there as long as we take care of the right things and the right things happen. We don't die.
Rock's 2,500 years old.
There you go. You know, you talked about a plant-based diet. I'm curious, like, were you always eating plant-based? How did you get turned on by it? How do you know it's right for you?
I don't know if mom pushed it, right? She pushed that whole vegan lifestyle. My dad, my neighbors, everybody else was meatballs, raviolis, cannolis, right? I fought it forever, but because I lived with my mom for periods of time and I lived with my dad for periods of time, I'd go back and forth on my diet. There's no contest that when I was plant-based, I mean, I got to do my own study, right? Because I'm with my dad and I'm eating shitty food. I'm with my mom, I'm eating unbelievable great food. I'm pissed off, but I feel better. I'm with my dad, I'm happy but feel terrible. and so I just, when I finally got switched on, I just went more plant-based. I turned the food pyramid completely upside down.
Yeah.
I recommend everybody else turn their food pyramid upside down. Our producer's just adjusting the microphone, I apologize. And what I do is the bottom of the pyramid, the largest chunk is mostly plant-based, salads, things like that. Middle section of the pyramid is nuts, avocados, et cetera. And then the tiny little tip of the pyramid is a little bit of meat, a little bit of fish, a little bit of eggs. That's what I eat.
Yeah, I think that's definitely the way to go. And I, you know, when you just look at it, it's just so evident that just generally speaking, the more green things you eat, the better. I had on David Sinclair, Harvard professor of the longevity book or lifespan book. Yep. He talked about eating like dark plants because the plants themselves have worked really hard to stress out and fight off that when you eat them, I guess it gives you some sort of a survival advantage that they once had too. And it's so interesting when you look at these things. And I'm curious, like, do you, in a lot of the athletes that you see, do you feel everyone moving towards this diet? And if it's not, you know, plant-based, it's just like...
Well, you know, I have a really good friend, John Durant, you should have on the podcast. He wrote the Paleo Manifesto. He co-wrote a book with me here. And he'd fight with us. I have a great friend, Kyle Dake, who's one of the, arguably the world's best wrestlers ever. At a Cornell University, who would completely argue with us. he's more of a meat guy.
Right.
But, you know, both those guys I just mentioned are in their 30s. And then I got Dr. B. She was 92. And he's from the neighborhood where I'm from. And he only eats raw fruits and vegetables. Nothing cooked for 55 years. And his argument is, look, if you're a wrestler, if you're looking to have giant biceps... If you're looking to look jacked and ripped, well, then that diet's the right diet. But if you're looking to outlive everybody around you, then you should go plant-based. And the more raw the food is, the better, because when you cook it, you kill it. So here's living proof. I mean, the guy...
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Different strides for different folks.
Depends
different
what you goals. Want. You want to be the fittest guy in the cemetery? Right?
Yeah, 100%.
One last thing. If you're training really, really hard, like Kyle, in the wrestling room and sweating, like, you could eat anything. And it's, you know what I mean? Like, you're burning pretty hot. Now, eventually it catches up with you.
Yeah, for sure.
So,
yeah, 100%. It's going to affect your lifespan.
Yep.
And, you know, I think it's super important when you're trying to do all this, whether you're trying to improve your eating, you're trying to improve your exercise, it's super important to just know why it is you're doing it. You know, I for some people, just doing it for the sake of doing it might not be enough. And I'm curious to ask you, like you talk about in your book, the importance of kind of finding your own North Star, like your reason for doing it. How do you maybe walk people, guide them through a process on how to find that, or what was your story and kind of doing that for you?
Really, really hard to do. I mean, it's like catching lightning in a bottle. And by the way, it changes through your life, right? My North Star, my purpose, looking back, I didn't know at the time, from, let's call it, you know, 9 years old to 25 years old, was I tough enough? Was I good enough? Could I hang with the big boys? Because I grew up in a neighborhood of organized crime. And I had red hair and light skin. And everybody else had dark hair and dark skin. And they were tough and I wasn't. And so I everything I did was to prove myself. See if I was tough enough. Wow. Cold showers way before Wim Hof. Carrying rocks around the neighborhood. Working 20 hours a day. that's what I did. 25, I want to make money. I get to Wall Street, and it's all about money is my North Star. I want to make money. from, you know, call it 35, 36, meet my wife, and it's like, no, I want a family, and I want to do something purposeful. So it's changed.
It changes. Yeah. It changes. Yeah, no, I think it's – and I think it's super important to have a North Star that you think – because I honestly think from when we all start off, when we're first born – we all have some kind of a North Star, if, even if it's unconscious, even if it's not necessarily a good thing. It's just maybe whatever we hear from people around us, whatever, like, our society's definition of success.
Yeah, I mean, in Africa, I'm going to bastardize the story a little bit, but in Africa, there's a town where a bunch of fast runners come from, right?
All right.
Say in Kenya. And they're like, is it the air? Is it the food? Is it, like, the training? And they go there and they find that years ago, a runner from that town won the Boston Marathon, got a Mercedes, was able to buy himself a big house up on a hill. And so what happens? All the young kids in that little tiny society look up at that hill, they see the Mercedes, and they're like, I want that.
Awesome.
And so their North Star, literally up the hill, becomes running, right? So to your point, now we all may find that you're chasing that thing, and that wasn't really your thing, but you got caught up in that.
Yeah.
You know, that first construction business or Wall Street or those things I got involved in, they weren't really my thing. This is my thing. And who knows? Maybe it'll change 10 years. Now, how do you – what's a trick, a process you can go through to kind of hack it? You got to ask yourself, what would you do if you knew you were going to fail at it every day? If you knew you were going to fail every day like I did for 15 years with Spartan, I lost money for 15 years, and you still wanted to do it, it's probably your thing.
Sounds so painful.
There's a guy I know. There's a great, really, really strict Jeff Funicello in Arizona. You know him, Marion, who runs a big MMA club. This guy's tough as nails. He's trying to get back in the Olympics in his 30s, maybe 40s. And he said he had an Indian fellow, student, come in, just get his ass kicked every day in that club. Just get his ass kicked. And kept coming in for like a decade. Kid just loved, he loved coming and learning wrestling. Right? So if you're failing at it, but you're still doing it, it's probably your thing.
It's the answer, but it's just like, you know, at the end of the day, it's so painful. Like, it's so painful to show up.
Look at Musk. I mean, look at Elon Musk, right? Now it's working.
Yeah.
But for a long time, it wasn't working.
Yeah.
But you stick with it. It's probably your thing.
Yeah. I'm curious, like, in times of, like, uncertainty, in times of, like, confusion, you don't really have clarity on your life of what's going on. Is there anything that you do? Is there any way that you try to think about life when you're in maybe those moments or in those times? If that makes sense.
Fire, ready, aim. Just like, just keep moving forward. The guy that helps me with my social media sent me a shirt for the holidays. It says, no one cares, work harder. And I love it. And so in times of uncertainty and lack of clarity and, I mean, think about my kids wrestling. Alberto, you guys can't see a cameraman here. We got his son wrestling, and it's hard. They go out on that mat in this little tights. They get their ass kicked. My answer to them is, no one cares. Work harder.
Yeah.
Because that's life.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%.
You know what? Let's be grateful at times uncertainty. Like, I don't know. I mean, when Marion was losing it with Hurricane Irene, because, like, the floods were coming in her house, and she was in just a puddle, just a mess. I was actually thriving. I was enjoying it because it was like we got work to do.
Right.
Right. So motivated. Yeah. So let's be grateful.
Yeah.
In times of uncertainty.
Yeah.
Who the hell wants the easy times?
Yeah. No. 100%. I think the main thing is, like, you have to get out there and you have to be creating some of your challenges. Because if you don't, then when something serious does happen in your life, it's just like another one of those events where you just get swept down. But I think if you can look at it, you can kind of go that way.
Yep.
I'm curious to ask you. So since, you guys have a Spartan podcast and you bring on a ton of awesome people that are amazing. I don't even know where to begin with. And you're hosting it. I'm curious, like, do you ever think about, like, what you want people to get out of the podcast? Do you ever think about, like, someone's going to be listening to this when I'm at the gym or when they're driving. Is there any way you like try to steer the conversation?
I'll be honest with you. When I do a podcast and I'm going to interview you, I'm just interested, just like it seems you're interested. I'm just interested in learning. Yeah. And I'm hoping that, you know, they say you find your customers, you find your following. And I'm hoping people that are listening are just as interested as I am in learning. I just want to learn. Yeah. What did you do differently than me? What can you teach me? What's fascinating? Like, I want to learn.
Yeah, no, 100%. That's the same way I feel. The reason why I ask is because, you know, I feel like some people also get bogged down in like a ton of information. And personally for me, like when I'm hosting it, I'm always trying to make it like, how do I make this as actionable, or how can somebody like take away something? How can they think about something differently? Because to me, it's like, there are a lot of people out there who just get stuck in just hovering over like information. But like what you said,
fire ready aim.
Yeah, the plan.
Right? Analysis paralysis otherwise.
Yeah, 100%.
Just got to move.
Yeah, for sure.
Got to take action. I think the worst decision is indecision. So, yeah, I like bite size. I like just bite size takeaways. Look, we've evolved from a world. Our world now knows how to market thanks to Steve Jobs and just really clean branding and really clean design and really clean messaging. Yeah, look at that. We got the Navy SEALs message right there. Move, shoot, communicate.
Ooh.
Right? Three, boom. So like, so yeah, I agree. People do get stuck if the message is too complex, right? I'll give you a big one that I'm working with here at Spartan. I call it the Spartan paradox. I don't know if we spoke about it earlier.
No.
It's this idea that I think we did speak about it, but I'll do it again. This idea that everybody thinks they have to get in shape and they have to train before they could do something hard. No. You sign up for something hard, and then that triggers, right? Mm-hmm. You taking all the actions, waking up early, going to bed early, not hanging out with the friends, drinking. There's a great blog you guys should all read, and gals out there listening. Will it make the boat go faster? Fantastic blog. All right? But it's exactly what we're talking about, which is don't do anything that is not making the boat go faster. Mm. And it follows an Olympic rowing team, an eight-man rowing team. And they just decided that for 18 months they were going to make decisions based on whether it'll make the boat go faster. Let's go have Haagen-Dazs. We crushed today. Will it make the boat go faster? No, we're not going. No. Let's go hang out with the girls. It was a great week. Will it make the boat go faster? No, we're not doing it. Now, some people might say, listening, hey, that's a really boring life, Joe. If everything you do, and I say, I don't know. I kind of like the journey. I like the hard work.
100%. It's the most meaningful at the end of the day. That beats shallow pleasure any day of the week. 100%. So we'll have links down below to where people can check out books, Spartan. Is there anything specific that you've got going on or anything that, or something that you think people should
Yeah, well, a couple of things. One is, if you've never done a Spartan race before and you're one of the listeners for your podcast, you've never done one before.
No.
So what we're going to do is we're going to create a team around you. You live in the Boston area.
Mm-hmm.
So we got a Boston event coming up fairly soon in the spring or whatever. We'll post it. I don't know the date. And I'm going to give you a bunch of free entries.
Okay.
The only thing I ask is that from the time this gets posted, this podcast goes live, we only give your listeners a short period of time. Because I don't want them fucking around.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. We're going to give them a short window, and we're going to say, look, it's your team. You're leading them.
Yeah.
Maybe there'll be 300. You could feel like Leonidas for the day.
Ooh,
right?
Let's go.
All free entries on me.
Okay.
Okay. And so you and I will sort that out.
Okay.
Otherwise, check out our podcast, Spartan Up Podcast. What else? Read our books. Check out our website. Follow me on Instagram because my team forced me to do a fucking Instagram thing.
Your Instagram is hilarious.
Yeah. Do you like it?
Yeah, it's so funny.
Thanks. Glad somebody listens. Edge. Oh, Spartan Edge. Here's what I want to work with you on.
Okay.
I said all the things you and I just spoke about, let's create some classes, online classes. So I created a bunch of online classes, and I'm continuing to create them. I'd love for you to push them out. It would be awesome.
Okay. Definitely.
I don't know how to get there, but we'll put it in the show notes or whatever.
Yeah, for sure. Well, yeah, I'm glad you guys are pushing different ways to.
I just want to get people learning. Healthy and smarter and better.
Take action and do it. And you're 100 million is very conservative, in my opinion.
Let's go. I'm counting on you.
Let's go. All right. Thank you, everyone out there, for listening. This has been your host, Mark Metry. Joe, thank you so much for coming on.
Hey, you made it to the end of the podcast. It's your host, Mark Metry, and I just want to take a moment here and sincerely acknowledging you for taking the time out of your own day, your own life, to invest it into listening to this podcast, to gain something valuable and implement into your life to make it better. This is what it's all about. Now, if you actually gain value from this episode and you want to give me value somehow, I would unbelievably appreciate it if you went to Apple Podcasts, iTunes, if you have an Apple product where you listen to podcasts, and please leave this show a review. You are free to send me a message, email, contact information is in the description below. Thank you so much for listening. Let's get this grassroots movement going.
Well, yeah. I'm